In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, I'll admit, Linus probably does a better job reading that than I do. But he was a professional. And it's almost difficult not to read it in the King James Version. That's the way I had it memorized, basically, growing up as a child. But we do use the New Revised Standard Version, and it does give us some words we can use. And I love the idea that the shepherds were terrified. Have you ever seen one of those movies where the UFO comes and shines a light down on some guy out in the wilderness by himself and he's terrified? That's what we're talking here. This was completely out of the ordinary. Now, I'm sure you see a lot of weird things out in the Judean countryside at night when you're sitting there with your sheep all night. But this was new. Angels, bright lights, choruses singing the glory of God, and appearing to shepherds of all people. Shepherds. Shepherds were not high on the socioeconomic scale in those days. They smelled a lot like sheep. And if you've ever smelled a sheep up close, that's not a good thing. There's a reason why they don't make a sheep-scented cologne. It wouldn't sell. Sheep smell bad. You ever smelled wet wool? Those are sheep. And yet, these are the folks that God chose to announce the birth of his son. He didn't send out engraved birth announcements to the high and mighty. He told shepherds of all people. I love the way that Luke goes about describing this because the chapter starts with Caesar Augustus, Caesar the Great, a man who literally could look out and knew that he controlled everything he saw. He could walk for days and still control everything he saw. Every map he ever saw was what he owned and could order around. I want to know how many people live in Palestine. I know it's 1,000 miles from here, and I don't know a soul there, but I am so great, I can tell you how many people live there. Make it happen. And it happened. This is Caesar Augustus. He has a whim, it gets carried out. And we contrast that with Mary and Joseph. Two kids, too poor to get a room when they're out of town, who have to move because Caesar had a whim, who deliver their child in a barn. And yet that's what God chose to do. God could have had his son born in the palace. Certainly that's what the Magi are going to think come January 6th when we get there. Of course, you would go to the palace to find the Son of God, but we find the Son of God in a stable, surrounded by shepherds and cattle. And we have a very nice creche and lovely figures, but they sugarcoat it, let's face it. Real animals are not that nice. You ever hang around them a lot, they smell everything else. And that's the way God chooses to enter into the world. Because that's what happened. I mean, if you think about it, it's astounding that God, who created everything, all that is, seen and unseen, God chooses to become part of creation. And chooses to do it not in some easy fashion, but as a poor baby born in a barn from Nazareth. I mean, later on we read, can anything good come from Nazareth? That's where Jesus is from. He didn't start on third base and then, you know, talk about hitting a home run. He started in the dugout in the little leagues way back. And yet was and is Son of the living God. Because God doesn't have to start with the high and mighty. He starts with the lowly. He starts at the bottom and builds up. Genesis tells us when God created the first man, he didn't make him out of gold or wonderful things and gems. He made him out of mud. We are creatures of mud and slime. And God became one of us. Not because we're so awesome, because we're not, let's face it. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul tells us. But God became one of us because God desires communion with us. It's incomprehensible. And if you think you got it all figured out, you're wrong. If anyone tells you they understand what God was doing, they're wrong. It is beyond human comprehension that God could want to be in communion with us. Do you go out in your garden and lift up logs and find snails and think, wow, I wish I could be in communion with them? That's the difference between us and God. And yet God makes it possible for us to be in communion with God. There is absolutely nothing that we could do. We wouldn't even be aware of God if God didn't make God's presence known to us. And God does what it takes to make it possible for us to even know God, to even have an inkling that God is there. We reach out in darkness for God, not because of us, but because God calls us. It all starts, begins, continues, and ends in God. And God calls to us. Calls to us through a baby in a manger. Calls to us through a cross on a hill 2,000 years ago. Calls, come to me. Come and find rest. Come and find joy. Come and find peace. Not because you deserve it, but because God wills it. Left to our own devices, we are not worthy of God. But God makes us worthy. God makes us worthy to stand before Him. Not because of our merits, but because of God's love and God's grace. And so, yes, we celebrate. We celebrate Christmas. It's a wonderful thing, the inbreaking of God into God's creation. And we celebrate in joy that it's not just one day, one nice evening, one very beautiful Christmas service. It's our lives that God calls to us. Spend your life in joy with me. Love me. Love each other. That's what we're called to do. You know, if it were some incredibly difficult task, we'd be like, we're up to it. We'll do it. But what he says is love. Love. And that can be so difficult to do. We live in a society today where saying Merry Christmas is seen by some as a challenge. You better say Merry Christmas to me. Taking what should be the most glorious words in the world, Merry Christmas, happy birth of Christ, happy inbreaking of God into God's creation, happy beginning of our salvation, and made it a challenge. I dare you, say Merry Christmas to me. What have we done? But God loves us. Take that away with you, if nothing else. You are loved by God. You were loved so much that God became a creature like you, like me, because of God's love for us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.